Good morning, nerdy neighbors of the internet. It is Saturday, September 3rd, 2022, and I once again have the honor, the privilege, and the pleasure of welcoming you to the Ordinary Podcast, Polynerdic.com's weekly nerd-centric life and culture podcast for adults. As always, I am your ordinary nerdy host, Shad, and welcome to episode number 274. Not a lot of stuff to talk about this week. I can honestly say this is the first week in a long time where I didn't do anything after work. I tried several times to have time with a friend or two. I played, you know, my morning Animal Crossing stuff. But after work, I really didn't do much of anything. I read some stuff. Just kind of really kept it low energy this week and didn't even review a lot of things as far as like content goes. Like I didn't like I this morning I spent like an hour this morning before recording looking at game and movie news and didn't really find a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about. So this week's show is going to be relatively short. I did want to touch on some important things in the nerd space, and that is largely discussing how ridiculous people can be. So we'll start with She-Hulk. I haven't watched it. I don't have Disney Plus right now. I will get it down the road and watch it when it's, you know, not the topic of the day. But apparently episode 3 ended with a, you know, the post-credit scene had She-Hulk and Megan the Stallion twerking in her office. Just two women in suits, fully dressed, having a silly time. And there's a big chunk of the internet that's upset about it, and I've tried to figure out why. Because it's not the first time a hero in a Marvel show or movie has danced, and it's not even like plot relevant. It's not like the end of Guardians of the Galaxy with Star-Lord dancing at Ronan. Y'all were probably fine with that, but you have a problem with She-Hulk and Megan shaking their butts. I don't understand it. I don't understand why that's a problem for you. It was a post-credit scene on top of everything. It wasn't like it was pivotal to the plot. I saw a lot of memes about, you know, comparing the general tone earlier of I don't like to be objectified to look at me shake my butt. I think that's a kind of a straw man argument. As more relevant and more like personally affected creators have said, women can have a good time together. Women can own their sexuality and also not like to be objectified. Those are not mutually exclusive thoughts. You know, like you can enjoy yourself, enjoy your body, enjoy being a human, enjoy sex, and also not want to be treated like an object. It's not that hard, people. It's not that difficult to understand. So I thought that was ridiculous, but this week also saw an outbreak of rage at Wizards of the Coast, and honestly, rightfully so. If you've never seen my face, and you can't tell from my voice, I am a very white man. So I do not have the life history background to discuss how the Hadozi situation affected me personally. That's just full disclosure. I'm a white guy. I've never dealt with what people of color deal with on a daily basis. I've seen it. I've listened to them. I've read about it, and you know, obviously I empathize. So the Hadozi were a problem. Because for those of you that don't follow D&D, in the new Spelljammer book that came out 2 weeks ago, The Hidozi were a race of monkey people. And you have to absolutely be an idiot if you're in a Eurocentric culture and you don't understand that people that look like me have called people with brown, dark skin monkeys forever in human history. Like, off the jump, that made me uncomfortable that they had to monkey people. And in their lore, their new lore, mind you, they were a race of, like, house cat-sized monkeys that were kidnapped, captured on their home world, and then an evil wizard, the one who captured them, fed them a magical serum to turn them into bipedal, intelligent beings that were also really good at handling pain because their improved panic response and was intending on selling them as slave soldiers. And then they didn't even free themselves. They were freed by good wizards who saw what their boss was doing and said, no, this can't stand. And then there's stuff historically in the Hidozi lore from 2nd and 3rd edition about them being deck apes, which is, I don't care how you view it. A lot of people, myself included, view it as really similar to that whole porch line that American racists specifically use. And over this week, that became the hot talking point in Spelljammer. You know, the previous week it was a mechanical issue. There wasn't enough ship combat. The glide mechanic of the Hidozi was broken. Stuff like that. And that's where I fell short as a commentator on it was. I got hung up on the mechanics bit of it. In my review of Spelljammer, I talked entirely about the mechanical faults of the set, how the books were too short, how there wasn't enough lore. But I didn't go into the specifics. I didn't even read the specifics. So that's where I fumbled the ball on covering Spelljammer. And I'm so happy that people came this week and were like, look, man, this is offensive. And I seen a lot of comments this morning. I spent like a half hour this morning blocking people on Twitter. Because Wizards of the Coast finally issued an apology last night. I think it's kind of shady that they issued an apology on Friday evening. That's like where news stories go to die. Everyone knows that. And they also struck the offensive content out of the character. The Hidozi lore now is very weak. It went from offensive to nothing, basically. The number of people in the Wizards of the Coast apology thread on Twitter that I blocked this morning in just a 30-minute period is disturbing. And it shows exactly why we have so far to go as a society, especially within nerd spaces. You would think within nerd spaces there would be more enlightened and progressive folk, but there is a huge, huge, huge number of backwards thinking conservative folk in nerd spaces, and it's really disturbing. The number of people that are like, you know, these morons can't differentiate reality from fantasy and blah blah blah. It's like, you are intentionally missing the point at this point. The way Hidozi were structured was racist. Always has been, mind you. Like, the original lore didn't have the slavery angle in it, but the original lore did talk about the unhuman wars and how the elves initially classified the Hidozi as unhuman. And then they realized, and this is their words, not mine, they realized that they were more civilized than they thought, and then reclassified them as an ally, but not an ally they respected, and that they started using Hidozi as mercenaries and workers while disrespecting them. But the Hidozi didn't care because they're just carefree and they love serving people. All very, 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 very racist tropes, to say nothing of the more recent content having like minstrel show looking things, because people want to conflate minstrel with bard. With ignoring the intensely racist history of blackface and minstrel shows and stuff, it takes more than just a surface level look at this stuff to see why it's offensive. And there are so many people, too many people out there that are like, well, what's the big deal? I don't get it. Saw a lot of like, this is why we need to bully more. We need to gatekeep this hobby more, keep this nonsense out of it. And not in the sense that they want to keep the racist stuff out. They want to keep the people that are upset about the racism out. So many people got blocked this morning. People I will never interact with, thankfully never have interacted with. Although I did see a number as I was scrolling through that I had already blocked, so that was a win. There are so many creators out there that have more of a dog in the hunt, as they say, to complain about Wizards of the Coast letting this through. Like sensitivity readers, QA, none of it caught this. I would say it's a symptom of there not being the right people in positions of power at Wizards of the Coast. Their apology, I will go ahead and read it to you. Is in itself weak. Like I said, not only did it drop on Friday night. Let me find it, because I retweeted other stuff. It dropped 8 hours ago. That means it dropped at 11 p.m. Eastern time. On Friday night. This is the full text of it. We wanted to acknowledge and own the inclusion of offensive material within our recent Spelljammer Adventures in Space content. We failed you, our players, and our fans, and we are truly sorry. The campaign includes a people called Hadozi, which first appeared in 1982. Regrettably, not all of the portions of the content relating to the Hadozi were properly vetted. That raises so many questions. Before appearing in our most recent release, as we continue to learn and grow through every situation, we recognize that to live our values, we have to do better. Throughout the 50-year history of Dungeons & Dragons, some of the characters in the game have been monstrous and evil, using descriptions that are painfully reminiscent of how real-world groups have been and continue to be denigrated. We understand the urgency of changing how we work to better ensure a more inclusive game. Effective immediately, we will remove the offensive content about Hadozi in our digital versions, and these will no longer be included in future reprints of the book. Our priority is to make things right when we make mistakes. In addition, we've initiated a thorough internal review of the situation and will take the necessary actions as a result of that review. We are eternally grateful for the ongoing dialogue within the D&D community, and we look forward to introducing new, engaging, and inclusive content to D&D for generations to come. D&D teaches that diversity is strength, for only a diverse group of adventurers can overcome the many challenges a D&D story presents. In that spirit, we are committed to making D&D as welcome and inclusive as possible. This part of our work will never end. Pretty boilerplate corporate apology. But at least it's an acknowledgement. If there is an at least in this situation, it's an acknowledgement that they fucked up. How they fucked up, how it got through the door, I don't know. Like I said, I feel some onus on that, because even I, when I reviewed it last week, I didn't read the lore. I didn't even look at it. I went through and, oh, there's a hippo guy with a gun. That's weird that they have an attachment to guns from birth because their gods did. Okay. Here's this flying monkey race. That makes me uncomfortable. The fact that there's even a monkey race makes me uncomfortable, because I'm aware, having grown up in a racist small town, of how prevalent that word is used to insult people of color. That glide mechanic looks broken. Move on, you know. Oh, well, the bug people, they can change the color of their shells to match the environment. Oh, and they have small extra arms. Plasmoid people, cool. Slime folk, awesome. You know, like, that was very much my surface level going through of the races that they included in the book. And then I got hung up on the mechanics, the fact that the adventure was, you know, a pretty middling, not great but not terrible affair, or that 364 page books is not enough for a setting. I dropped the ball in covering it, and I'm so glad that other people step forward. Like, I'm looking at one of them right now, the Umbral Knight, Umbral underscore Knight X on Twitter. He was one that really nailed the problem. One of many. It was all over TikTok. It was all over Twitter. I'm happy to see that Wizards acknowledged it. I'm happy to see that they took steps to correct it. I wish they would have just written better lore in the first place. I personally was talking to two of my three players last night, my younger two players, and we were discussing that, like, I don't know if I'm comfortable even using the Hidozi. If I do, I think I might remove their wings, so to speak, and make them just really cool simian adventurer types. I don't know. I don't like the way the wings look. I will give you that as just a purely aesthetic thing. I don't like that they're skin membranes, which is just a gross thing to say out loud. Attaches at the wrist, the hip, and the ankle. It doesn't look functional, and it looks gross. But there's just so much problems inherent in what they did. And there are other races. People, some of the defenders of this have pointed out that there are other races that have, you know, their history in D&D, even in 5e, is linked to racism. The Duergar, the Githyanki. And that's terrible, you know? But I think boiling it down to we need to have this kind of racism in our game for there to be bad guys is also stupid. The hobby, nerd spaces in general, obviously have a lot of growth to go. I mean, we saw two examples of it this week between She-Hulk shaking her booty and the Hidozi situation. I am for an inclusive, comforting space. I like safety tools. I like knowing what my players do and don't want to see at the table, so I don't put it in there. The last time I played D&D as a player, the DM consistently put things in there that made me uncomfortable. It's one of the reasons why I was very prone to canceling the game, because I knew I needed to be in a very specific mindset to deal with his stuff. And it wasn't even graphic stuff, but like, there was stuff that was uncomfortable. Like, moving through the city and spotting a teen girl that is very obviously about to be preyed upon by an adult male. Yeah, I got to play the hero and put that asshole down, but like, that was a completely unnecessary moment. There was a time jump of a short distance where I had ran afoul of somebody and ended up in an enslavement camp, you know, like to be sold to somebody. It was just like, it felt like every couple sessions there was something problematic, and it's because, quote unquote, he's an old school gamer. I don't like that in my game. I don't want to play it. I don't want to experience it. I don't want to fight it. I don't want it to be there. You know, like I understand the historical roots of that sort of thing, but I'm also playing a fantasy game to escape reality. You know, reality is pretty goddamn terrible. I don't want to play games that are rooted in that reality as that much. You know, like, I want to go slay dragons or defend dragons if they're good dragons. I hate how in 2022 we're still having these discussions. We're still needing to defend the fact that something was wrong and hurt people. You know, just because you yourself were not hurt by it doesn't mean it's not hurtful. I mean, I hope most of you understand that. Like I've never been called a monkey, but I have seen people and know people that were, you know? Um, And then for there to be assholes out there who are like, oh, they're upset about nothing. I saw lots of, you should never apologize. These people won't accept an apology. Wizards has to do better. You know, Pathfinder, everyone talks about Pathfinder when these things come up. Some Pathfinder players are all too eager to be like, well, you should come play our game. It's better. And I will say, on one specific thing, Pathfinder does do much better, and that is their stuff, to my knowledge, from what I've seen, stares pretty damn clear of racist tropes. They just released an entire book called The Mwangi Expanse, which is a very African-inspired setting book. And I haven't read all of it yet, but I've read a lot of it, and it's pretty damn good. Like, will problems pop up in other games and other spaces? Absolutely, they happen. But the Hidozi situation was just one after the other. It was like a perfect storm of terrible ideas all in one race. You know, like, the art was bad with the minstrel show references. The fact that they were just innocent creatures that were turned into what they are for the explicit purposes of being slave soldiers. And then the stuff about the way they have been written over the years, not just in 5e, but in past editions where, you know, it's like, oh, they're just happy to serve. They love hard work. They love their masters. You know, it's very... What is that? Song of the South, I think, is the movie. Yeah, it was just bad. And then for people to be willfully ignorant of it or to defend it outright is heartbreaking, because we should be better by now. We should absolutely be better as a culture. If not countrywide, at least within our nerd spaces. I don't understand how spaces that largely appeal to intelligent, empathetic people are so full of ignorant, sociopathic assholes. I don't understand how that happens. Like, gatekeeping's bad in general. But I will absolutely keep people away from my spaces that think that She-Hulk shaking her ass is a sign that Marvel's losing their touch, or that the Hidozi situation was okay. And as I said, there's other races in D&D that have very problematic beginnings. Githyanki being slaves of the Mind Flayers. Duergar being slaves of the Drow. A lot of older depictions of the Drow being slavers themselves. There's been a lot of talk about this on the internet. And as I said, I've talked for 23 minutes about it this morning. And I, as a white man, am not the expert on this matter. I am not the one that needs to be telling you why this depiction of this specific race of monkey people is racist because X, Y, and Z is attached to it, and X, Y, and Z have also been applied to real world people. Because that's the thing. It's a fantasy game, but when you take things that are explicitly directly tied to a real world people's experiences, it's not fantasy anymore, asshole. the whole thing was really heartbreaking to sit back and watch and listen to these creators of color talking about their lived experiences being reflected in the fantasy game, and then to see a bunch of assholes, some of them also people of color, mind you, that are like, well, that's bullshit. This is a fantasy game. This is fine. They did nothing wrong. I want Wizards of the Coast to be better than this. Better than even how they handled it. Like, first and foremost, it should have never been published the way it was. For their apology to say sections of the lore were not properly vetted, like, why? Like, are you admitting that this is a rush product? Because it felt like a rush product when it came out. The fact that it was 364-page books, lacking a bunch of mechanics. Some mechanics were very obviously broken. To that point, they did issue an errata. Like, they cut out the offensive bit of the Hidozi story. They fixed the glide trait because now they've added movement speed to it, because that was a problem with the glide trait of Hidozi. Let them move essentially at like Mach 2 because they had no movement cost to their glide, so they could move for like for every number of feet they fell, they can move so many feet forward with no movement. And you know, most characters in D&D have a 30-foot movement speed per 6 seconds, right? Like that's the standard. Every round is 6 seconds, or every turn, excuse me, is 6 seconds, and you could move up to 30 feet in 6 seconds. Well, they were able to move endlessly based on that distance drop, distance forward ratio. Now they've changed it where it says when you fall at least 10 feet, you can use your reaction to extend your skin membranes, which is still so gross, to glide horizontally a number of feet equal to your walking speed. That's a much better phrasing of the glide mechanic. I lost my point I was making. They didn't vet the shit. The project was obviously rushed. The original lore for Hidozi was bad. They made it worse by making it the uplifted, civilized race that was going to be sold into slavery that has a higher pain threshold and just loves serving their masters. Like, that whole angle is terrible. But honestly, in my opinion, the people who are defending it are worse than what they are defending. Because the people that are defending it are ignoring the lived experiences of people of color. And that's where I get hung up on it, is that I don't have to have experienced a bad thing for me to understand that when dozens upon dozens upon hundreds of people step forward and say, "This is terrible," That's all I need to hear. Like, you're right, it is terrible. I see that it is terrible. I'm sorry that this fictional content touches you in a way negatively. You know, it's like being mad at a victim of sexual assault or rape when they don't want sexual assault or rape in their fantasy. You know, this ties into the House of the Dragons. Haven't watched it, don't have HBO Max. There was a lot of talk in the lead up to the first episode about how there needed to be sexual assault and violence against women for it to be historically accurate. Because, you know, in the time on Earth when there were dragons, that's how things were, right? Like, I saw a comedian talking about that, like, it needed to be factually accurate to how it was portrayed in George R.R. Martin's imagination. Like, fuck that. I go out of my way to not include sexual assault and rape in the stories I tell, whether it's a story I write or a story I am telling at the table. Just because things that are terrible exist in the real world doesn't mean they need to exist in our games for our games to be fun. because that's always the common refrain that you get is, well, if we start taking out this, this, and this, eventually we're just going to get to a game where there's one race and no conflict ever, and everything is just great and cheerful, and the game is boring, and the game dies. Like, no, you can tell awful stories without people being raped or racism being an inherent part of the story. It's not that difficult to respect people's lived experiences in the fantasy realms. Not that hard. And it makes me sad that we have to have this argument and this discussion. Do better, Wizards of the Coast, and do better, fans, for fuck's sake. Do better. Be better. Understand that not everyone's lived experience is your lived experience, and when people step up and say something about how their lived experience is hurt by what you put out as the author of a fantasy thing, take a moment and fucking reflect on that. Humble yourselves, goddammit. Just because you don't have a problem with it doesn't mean that it's not problematic. And then when you come to that conclusion that I don't have a problem with it, I don't see why it's a problem, but they're telling me it's a problem, take a fucking moment and reflect. Be better. End of story. And that's the note we're going to end on this week's show. I am so annoyed by nerd culture right now, and it's fucking everything to me. It is my primary identifying association. You know, like, there's a reason why I call my shit polynerdic, because I'm a nerd of many, many facets. I like all sorts of nerdy shit, and I am so frustrated with Marvel fans and D&D fans and old school RPG fans and people in general. You can have conflict without hurting people. You can have conflict in your stories without hurting people in the real world. And when someone is bothered by something in fantasy, in fiction, it does not make them a snowflake. We are nothing but a collection of our experiences. And just because you don't see the problem with it doesn't mean it's not a problem. You know, since you like to talk about historical relevance and stuff and how that ties to things, for hundreds of years in this country alone, owning people as property was not considered problematic. But it's surely fucking problematic. But just because society, you know, just because society then didn't see it as a problem doesn't mean it wasn't a fucking problem. I'm so frustrated. So we're going to end it here. I'm going to have a good weekend with my kids. We're going to play some D&D, and it's going to be D&D free of racism. It's going to be great. I highly recommend Radiant Citadel. It's a great book. We had a fun time 2 weeks ago running an adventure out of it. Probably going to run one or two more this weekend out of it because we're still on our side characters because the whole party isn't ready for the end game of our big campaign, and I'm okay with that. I don't care about what I'm playing as long as I'm playing. I'm going to keep feeding my block button on Twitter. The more I look at people's bullshit, the more I'm going to block them, because I believe in cultivating the space that you are comfortable in, and I am not comfortable around people who are unwilling to listen to the lived experience of other fucking people. I hope you have a good weekend. I'm going to have a good one. We're going to have some tacos today. We're going to play some D&D. We're going to play some video games. We're going to hang out together. It's going to be grand. I'll be back on stream Monday night, probably. I didn't stream any this week. I meant to, but like I said, I just wasn't feeling it this week. And I am not going to force it anymore. Streaming is a fun hobby thing for me. It's not a career. I get tips and subs and stuff, but not enough to make a paycheck, apparently. Maybe in a year or two, I'll have enough together to get a one-time payout from Twitch. But for now, all this stuff is a passion project. I'm plainly very passionate about it. But I'm also not going to be performative. I'm not going to sit down and put on a happy face and all that stuff when I don't feel like it. So we will be back on stream sometime this week. Probably going to finish that fighting game that I started last weekend. I've started uploading it to YouTube along with the final stuff of Cult of the Lamb. I'm hoping in 2 weeks' time that I'll have the money to buy Bear and Breakfast on Switch when it comes out on the 15th. But we shall see. I hope you have a good weekend. I hope you hold the loved ones that you have in your life close. And if you don't have anyone, hold yourself close, because I lived that life for 2 weeks in a row every week. I sit here by myself. I try to reach out to people. I talk to people online. But I really have nobody other than my children. And so when they're here, I cherish the hell out of them. And then the rest of the time, when I'm all on my own, I learn to love myself. That's something that took me 38 years to learn to do. It feels great to be able to look yourself in the mirror and go, man, I don't hate you, you know? So if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. But anyone and everyone that you love in your life, make sure they know it. Life's really fucking short. It's simultaneously the longest thing any of us do and incredibly painfully short. And I'll talk to you next week if I don't see you on streams. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ordinary Podcast brought to you by Polynerdic.com. That would be me. I am Polynerdic. My name is Shad. You've been listening to me ramble for 38 minutes on racism and nerd space, racism and sexism. If you like what we do, you can support us via Twitch, Patreon, and Ko-fi. We also have a YouTube channel that stuff goes up on, and you can find us all across social media, everything from Facebook even, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We have a subreddit that we rarely use, and a Discord if you're interested, and a mostly dead Discord that I keep trying to breathe life into and then forgetting about. But that's going to do it for me this week. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you soon. Goodbye.